Hello, my Audio Boo friends. It's Stefano, also known as Slandy here on Audio Boo. This is my third attempt at doing a boo this morning. And if I wait any longer, it will no longer be morning. It's almost noon, in fact, in about a half an hour or so. And it's a beautiful, beautiful day out there. Very, very cold, however. With the wind, I think the wind chill factor is around -3 to -5. And very chilly for an early November. And unfortunately, we were absolutely spoiled right into the third week of October. And now Mother Nature is finally showing her true colors, and in more ways than one. Of course, most of the fall colors are gone now. Even as I look down the street, all I see is the evergreens. And even the evergreens have taken on a certain strange hue. But that could be just the way I'm observing them. I had a very interesting talk this morning with my daughter on the way to school. We were talking about snow, because when we first went out, there was this light frosting on the grass. And she was saying, well, it was very pretty. And she says, it kind of reminded her of snow. And she says, well, Dad, when is it going to snow? I said, well, most normally it snows either at the very tail end of November or around mid-December. And then she reminded me of about 4 years ago or so now, that on December 24th, we actually walked with her nanny, with her grandma, over to a park not too far from here. And she rode her bike around on Christmas Eve. And it was, if I recall, it was something like 10 degrees or something like that. It was very, very warm, unseasonably warm. And so we talked a little bit about that. And then we ended up talking about climate change. And I was telling her that there's a lot of people out there that don't believe in climate change. And a lot that do. Now, whether you believe that climate change is being caused by human activity, or as I alluded to, I think in a few boos ago, that it's a cyclical thing. Nevertheless, we are seeing changes in the patterns of our climate. And things like Sandy, Hurricane Sandy, or subtropical storm Sandy, will be, I think, more and more of a regular occurrence because of the warming up of the temperature, or the temperature shift. It changes subtly, but it changes the temperature of the surface of the water, which in turn changes the way the water interacts with deeper water, changes currents. Even in the slightest way, there's a phenomenon called the butterfly effect, where in essence it says if a butterfly flutters its wings in America, well, there's going to be a hurricane in Japan. And it basically means that even the smallest input at one end of a very large and vast system can have very dramatic effects at the other end of the system. And I have studied some of this in meteorology and climatology. And there is a balance. There's a water balance. There's an air temperature balance. And whenever you disrupt these things, be it, again, naturally or by the effects of what we're doing to the climate, there is going to be consequences. And we don't really know what those consequences are because there are too many variables. In climatology and meteorology, scientists develop computer models, very, very sophisticated and very complex computer models that try to simulate and synthesize the complex movements of the air and the interaction of the air to the water and evaporation rates and rainfalls and the water cycle. And in an effort to try to make forecast models. But at the same time, what they do with these systems is they look for a much wider picture, a much longer term picture, to see what eventually the patterns will be of the jet stream, of things like the Coriolis effect, which is basically the rotation of the Earth causes predominant winds, westerlies, to sort of make these little wisps, sort of like little little spirals, if you want, on either side of the equator. It's called the Coriolis effect, and it gains its strength as you go to the northern or southern hemispheres. So what happens is, as this Coriolis effect takes place, if the water's warmer, or if the temperature in any one place is warmer, even by a few degrees, or even by a degree, it changes. It can actually shift the winds, and those winds, again, because of the Coriolis effect, can have vast differences over wide areas. So something like Hurricane Sandy, which would have normally tracked into Florida, the Gulf, that area, all of a sudden had gained power, had gained enough strength and enough energy and momentum and inertia to go up the East Coast, much higher than you would normally see a storm of that magnitude. But like I was telling my daughter, unfortunately, many scientists believe that these storms, these super storms, are going to be more and more commonplace. Again, because of certain climatic changes. Maybe they'll be wrong. Maybe things will shift back. Maybe the cycle isn't as long as they think. And again, because of records, there could be a cycle, but we could be coming out of the tail end of a very, very long cycle with ebbs and flows within that cycle. So my daughter said, well, we're not affected. I said, no, we're quite high. Montreal is quite high in latitude, and we are protected by, you know, mountains, and the mountains predominantly run sort of northeast to southwest along the areas, the Appalachians, along the areas of Montreal and in that area. And so I was telling her that, however, that if these super storms come more and more frequently and bigger, they could conceivably get up and affect us. Instead of just having very strong winds, we could have almost hurricane force winds and be deluged. Will we be flooded? Well, the storm surge could come up the St. Lawrence Seaway. It could. I'm not saying it won't, or I can't say it will. But I'm starting to sound like a politician. But it, these things can happen. So all in all, I didn't really know what to answer my daughter. I kind of kept it vague, but also making her realize that her generation should be very excited, because they have challenges ahead of them. And they can look back on what has been done up to now, be it scientifically in research, or if it turns out to be that we have had a dire effect on the climate, then to find ways to circumvent that. And even at that, even if we could turn off everything tomorrow, the Earth would still take 50 or 60 years to start recovering. Anyway, that's the kind of conversation I was having with my daughter this morning. Very enlightening for a 9-year-old. Well, almost 10, actually. 10 in February. Thanks for listening.